I want to get right into the Word today. I know we have, this is our time together, and I'm going to be, of all things, I'm going to be going from Psalms 91 today, and I'm going to read it at some point. I want to talk to you about divine protection, because I think that we, well, I know, we are very vulnerable creatures, and that we, whether we think we do, we need lots of protection. We live in a world that's changing. I don't know. I'm not wishing disaster on anybody, but we live on the edge of many tragic things. And I, looking back over 2019, I have seen lives that have been destroyed, people that were vulnerable and that they were not appropriately protected. I've seen, I know of suicides. You probably do. And Satan's great delight is to destroy a life completely without Christ. And that's a very terrible thing. And I know we get kind of smug here in America. We've never had war on our shores as far as a foreign invasion. And we feel very confident and comfortable. We've never been chased from our homes like some who are experiencing that even now. And refugees and all these kind of things. We've never been there. And yet, we too need protection. We need to sense that we are very finite and that life is uncertain, right? Don't know what the year's coming up. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if this, God forbid, this could be the last. Who knows? We don't know. And so we are like the proverbial coney in the book of Proverbs. It says the coney, there are little rabbits, what it is, that they're feeble little folks, and oh, they're a delicious meal. Everybody likes the coney. Everybody wants to jump on the coney, right? But the coney has to get smart, doesn't he? And the Bible says the coney makes his dwelling in the rocks. Go, eagle, see if you can tear up that rock, huh? Coyote, see if you can move that rock. I'm going to live in the rock. And we have to be like that. We understand that we are really targeted. You know that? We are a target. I mean, there's not everybody likes us. Including in the spiritual realm, there is immense hatred toward us because we bear the image of God. And so you need to realize that you have a great enemy who seeks your harm and that you do need protection. Lots of it. Layers of protection. We're going to talk a little bit about layers of protection. How much protection do you really have from an untimely... I know we're all going to die, but I don't think we should die an untimely death. You know what I'm saying? We should not die until our time that God ordains, right? And I just want to project that today. And Psalms 91, and in fact, I want to tell you this about, and there's another thing we need to be protected from, and that's judgment. Because in the book of Revelation, there's something going on in the spirit world, I think, even right now. People are either being sealed or marked. To be sealed is a good thing. To be sealed by the seal of God means you're protected, regardless of what happens, okay? And the Holy Spirit is that seal, and you need that seal in your life, that seal of good housekeeping, so to speak. You know, the Lord is there. But there's another thing going on, and that's a mark. Mark of the beast, whatever you want to call it. But people are being marked and they're being sealed. They're being sorted out like sheep and goats. Where do you stand in that? So we need protection. We need to be sealed by the seal of God. Okay? Psalms 91 is a unique psalm. It's very well known. But it follows Psalms 90, obviously. And if you look at Psalms 90, it says a psalm of Moses. And it is very likely, and I think it is so, the Jewish people felt so, that Psalms 91 is also a sequel to Psalms 90. It's a psalm of protection. And it's also authored by Moses, many think. And what it refers to, and if you look at it, it'll begin to make perfect sense to you. It's actually a coronation that he is giving to Joshua, who is to take over the leadership. Moses is fading off the scene, and Joshua is taking over the leadership of the children of Israel by God's command. And so Moses is speaking to Joshua. He's giving him this benediction, this blessing of protection. Moses himself, who knew what protection was about, as you know, he was doomed to die as a child, and he was divinely protected and even raised in Pharaoh's house. And he had had many instances where the Pharaoh wanted to kill him and so forth and so on. And out in the wilderness, even the own people of the children of Israel would have killed him if they got an opportunity. So he knew what it was to have the sustaining, protecting power of God in his life. And he wanted to bless Joshua with that same assurance that God would be with him. And who is this Joshua guy? You know, his name used to be Hoshea. And Moses changed his name to Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah salvation. So Moses renamed this guy. And this Moses was, this Joshua was Moses' assistant for the most part of 40 years. I want you to get this. This guy has followed Moses. He's his tag along. He's been with him. He went places nobody else could go but with Moses. Not even Aaron, Moses' brother, could go where Joshua went, just in the role of being an assistant. Joshua went to the mountain. He was on Mount Sinai with all that, you know, glory. Can you imagine? That young man sitting there, his eyeballs just beholding this great event. Moses is up there. And not only that, but he followed Moses even to the tabernacle of meeting, where God would talk to Moses as a man would talk to his friend face to face. And it says in Exodus chapter 33, interesting, that Joshua went in there. Even when Moses left, Joshua would stay behind in that sacred place. Isn't that interesting? Here's a man in the making. He sits there in that special place of God's presence, and he developed this love of God's presence. When everybody else rebelled, Joshua didn't. When everybody else doubted, you know, he was one of the 12 spies, and he was one of them that of only two that brought back the good tidings, we can do it. When everybody doubted, Joshua didn't doubt. He had this endowment of God's spirit about him. And there was a spiritual connection between he and Moses. One of the first instances you'll ever find about Joshua is when he went out to fight with the Amalekites. Maybe you remember that story. He went out, and as long as Moses kept his hands up in the air, Joshua prevailed, right? But when Moses' hands went down, the enemy prevailed. So Moses knew, I got to keep my hands up. You know how he got support. One on each side, they held his hands up until Joshua could completely defeat the Amalekites. So there was a connection between, a spiritual connection between Moses kind of in intercession and Joshua being the warrior. So there's this bond, unique bond. Moses feels very keenly about Joshua. And he knew that there were going to be many battles ahead. They're going into the promised land, and there are inhabitants there, and they've got to go. And Joshua, you're going to lead into victory. And so you're going to need this blessing. And if you know Joshua's life story, you read the book of Joshua, he had one of the most victorious, unusual lives you could possibly imagine. He conquered. No one could stand before Joshua all the days of his life. He lived a long life, and he saw the salvation of the Lord. He saw the children of Israel in the land of being from bondage. He took them. He seen them all away from being slaves in Egypt. 40 years of wilderness experience, and he saw them finally in their promised land. What a life! What a spectrum of seeing the blessings of the Lord. And so I want to go to the verses here today. First of all, the 91st Psalm is known as the Soldier's Psalm. I didn't know this, but I did a little Google on this. And I don't know if they still do it, but they used to issue scarves, camouflage scarves, with the 91st Psalm written on the scarves for the troops, American troops. I suppose ACLU's got to that before long, or somebody said that was unconstitutional. I don't know, but I hope it's true. I did hear a story, read a story of a English general in World War I who told his men to memorize the 91st Psalm, and before they ever went out in the day, they quoted the Psalms a lot of times by memory, and the thing was, he never lost a soldier. And I'm not trying to just make this as a luck charm, but there is power in the Word. There's power in personalizing the Word and making it yours. And the first verse, some call it the verse 9-11. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, 9-11. Why? 91st Psalm, verse 1. What does it say? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This qualifies who's going to have this protection. Notice it. He who dwells, where was he dwelling? He loved to dwell in the secret place. What's the secret place? That's the place where most folks don't go. That's that prayer closet. That's that place you have personally with God that is unique to you. It's a secret place. He who dwells in the secret place. So this qualifies the blessing. The one who has experienced God's presence, who loves God's presence, and who dwells in God's presence. Every opportunity they get to be in God's presence, they want to be there. Whether by way of devotion or fellowship. You understand this? Okay. And it shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, you want God, God wants you. And God covers you with his shadow. And Joshua was very much experienced with seeing the shadow of God over the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness, you know. But God will personalize you. He will bring his shadow over you. Amen. And in verse 9 and 10, and I will read this, but in 9 and 10, I just want to emphasize right now, because you have made, he's speaking to Joshua, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, Moses said, he's my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. That's where you live. You live in God's presence. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Why? Because you're in God. You're with God. You're dwelling. You've chosen to live there, to abide there. Okay? Amen. So I want to read these scriptures today. And verse 1 through 13 is Moses speaking, blessing Joshua. And then at verse 14, the voices change and God speaks. Notice this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. Here's this blessing. You know, this is the only scripture that I ever see where Satan quoted. Satan knows this chapter, doesn't he? It must be a powerful chapter because Satan used this on Jesus at the wilderness of temptation, didn't he? He knew. And he was trying to use the word against Jesus, and it didn't work, did he? So this is a powerful word that even Satan knows. It's, you know, when God says, you can't, Satan, you can't. You can't touch Job, you can't do, you put a hedge around him, you know. Satan knows these things. He knows his boundaries, okay? Amen. But please notice, verse 14 through 16, there's another voice that enters the picture here. This is not Moses speaking. Now listen to this. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. It's interesting that the name Joshua is the same name as Jesus. Isn't that interesting? He has known my name. In fact, he's bearing my name. Okay? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And you will see instances, if you read the book of Joshua, everything wasn't blue skies. There was trouble. And Joshua had to seek the Lord at times. And the Lord heard him. And I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's exactly what happened to Joshua. And I'm telling you, this is not just a scripture for Joshua, but this is a scripture for anyone who makes the Lord their dwelling place, who will abide. Didn't Jesus say, abide in me, and my words abide in you? You know, get in. I like that song, Jerry, just a closer walk. Amen. You feel that need. I need to be close. I need to be overshadowed. I need to be protected. I need to have that assurance that the Lord is with me. I want to talk to you about layers of protection just for a minute. There's a lot I could talk about. I'm not going to try to do an expository deal on Psalms 91, but I think obviously you can see the great protection that is there. But the Lord has provided great protection for us, layers. You know, I would hate to think that United States only has one layer of protection, that we only have an army. I think it's good they have an Air Force. And I think it's probably good they're going to have some space things going on out there. We need layers of protection, don't we? Not just one layer, but layers. And we, if we are kept by the power of God, God puts layers of protection. I want to just go through some of these today, because I want you to take inventory whether you are protected or not, or well protected, okay? And first, I want to say, I think the first thing that brings great protection to us is the blood of Jesus. Like the Passover lamb was a protection upon the doors, the blood of the Passover lamb upon the doorpost, because judgment was coming. And we need to be protected from God's judgment, first of all, right? Because he will judge this world. And I don't want to be in that situation where I am judged with the world. I want to be spared. And the blood of Jesus is that wonderful protection. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, don't we? And so it's that layer. Thank God for the blood. Amen. And we can come today and participate in this communion service and feel that covering of the blood of Christ, that atonement that covers my sin. What a wonderful covering that is. Amen. And so that's number one. And then his own presence. The Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit with me. To give me the want to love him. And to seek his righteousness. And to seek his kingdom. Jesus said, as I mentioned, abide in me. And if my words will abide in you, you will bring forth fruit. Abide in me. Stay there. You know, one of the problems we have an attention deficit. We always like new things. We want to move on, right? God's been good to us, but oh, we want to venture off and try this. We want to try another thing. We read the Bible, but the Bible's kind of, you know, and so we want another book, and we want a new little fangled thing over here. But the Lord is saying, no, abide. There's more here than you can possibly imagine. Abide in us. And abide in his word. What did it say in verse 4 of Psalms 91? He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth. The words of the Lord will be a shield to you. You need a shield, right? Have you got that shield of his word? Do you just believe anything? You know, I like what somebody's got a little bumper sticker says, don't believe everything you think. No, don't do that. We think lots of stupid stuff, and people tell us lots of stupid stuff, right? Amen. But let his word, his truth, be your shield and your buckler. Read the words of Jesus often. Meditate upon them often. Amen. Then I think of these spiritual protections. How about angels? Do you believe in angels? We kind of think so. He shall give his angels charge over you. Do we have an angel? Do you have an angel? You know who angels focus in. You know, you might think, well, everybody's got an angel. Well, your angel might not be so good. Depends on what camp you're in. Because angels are ministers to those who are heirs of salvation. They're not just little cherubs that fly around just to make sure you don't get hurt. And there are evil angels out there too. But God would love for you to be covered and protected by an angel. Well, now we know the babies have angels, right? Scripture tells us that. I hope we don't outgrow our need of angels. Amen. Thank God. And they watch. I think we're being watched. You don't think so? I think we are. I think we're being watched. I think there's eyes looking in on this chapel today, looking in on this preacher. Thank you. I believe that there's protection in prayer. Believe that? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan wants to have you, but I prayed for you, Peter. It's going to be all right. You're going to stumble. But I prayed. I prayed a prayer of protection over you. Amen. We believe in coming to the new year in the spirit of prayer. Bless you. If you have somebody praying for you, you are blessed. You know, I don't pray for everybody. How about you? Can everybody pray for everybody? No. You know who I pray for? I pray for people that are in association with me, right? You know, I don't think those prayers, oh, God, be with all the children in the world. I mean, that's a nice prayer, but how's it ever going to be answered? I'm sure, you know, there's nothing specific. You never know whether it's going to be fulfilled or not. And I just say to folks that want to move around about, and they don't stick anywhere. Often they don't get prayed for because nobody knows what they're up to. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're around and if you're in association with me, I'm going to pray for you, whether you want it or not. But if I see you once every 2 years, can't guarantee it, unless the Holy Spirit just taps me on the shoulder and brings something up. I'm saying there is a bond of prayer that we need. I'm thankful for the prayers that have been prayed for me when I didn't pray. Thank God for parents that prayed. Amen? I don't know how I've made it. 49, this is our 49th year, our 49th year of ministry. I don't know how we've made it. Somebody prayed, and I am so grateful that they did and that they do. Praise God. What else? A prayer layer. Relationships. Good relationships are a protection. Family is a good protection. You know, I protect my wife and she protects me. What? Yeah, that's right. We protect each other. Our relationship is something that covers us and protects us. Families, if they're good families, there can be a protection there, right? Church family and fellowship, that's a protection that you're looking out for me, huh? You got my back? Well, have we got each other's back? Yes, there's protection in relationships and in fellowship. In fact, there's protection in just having a submitted attitude toward one another, just saying, I need you. There's a protection in that, right? You know, pray for me. I need you. It's not, I could take you or leave you. You know, in this Intermountain area where we live, and I'm just talking, there's a lot of suicide. Way over the national average. You know why? Everybody wants to go on their own. They want to do it themselves. You can't do it yourself. Satan has a way of penetrating into your mind, your heart, put thoughts there, and you need protection, maximum protection. Amen. Not only that, but there's protection when we do what he wants us to do. Jesus said, go into all the world, didn't he? Preach the gospel. And then what did he say? Lo, I am with you always. I'll be with you. If you go, I'll go with you. You don't go? Well, there's a part of his presence that you won't know. I wanted to read to you from Luke chapter 10. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. Then the 70 returned with joy. The Lord had sent them out to preach, to heal the sick. And they were saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And listen to what he says. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You went out at my command, and I'm going to give you my protection. Some of us have traveled overseas and we've been in some situations that were, yeah. I know Craig and I went to Sudan. I don't know if we knew what we were getting into. Brother Dave and I have been to Liberia. And I'm sure they've been places, I've been places where it's really foreign and there's no 911 available. And yet you feel this protection, you feel this anointing, you feel this peace because you're there for the Lord. And you just feel like, you know what? I remember one time I was riding a motorcycle and it was a viper, one of the most deadly vipers, came across the path. And I ran right over it, you know, and somebody told me, you know what that was? Well, don't tell me, but it's what they call the two-step, you know. Once it bites you, you get about two steps and you're dead, you know. And but you just feel this protection. You just feel the Lord says, if you're doing what I ask you to do, that's why it's important for this church to stay involved in missions. It's important that this church stay involved in going out to the rest homes, the jails, the prisons, the juvie. And when you go, you know, Larry, you know, Brother Dan, you know that when you go, he goes, sometimes I go and I don't know even what I'm going to do. Lord, I've tried and I don't want to, but as I go, the Lord goes with me. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. So the question is, as I conclude this real quickly, are you protected? Where are you dwelling? Where do you abide? I like what one of our guys here in the New Start program, his PO said to him, how come you're not messing up like you usually do? You've been through this cycle before and you keep running back and through the system. How come this is different? He said, I've never had anybody looking out for me before. I've never had anybody praying for me like they do now. And that makes a difference. And guys, I want you to know we do pray for you. We call your name. Amen. Amen. We got your back, okay? Amen. And God helping you, you're going to make it, okay? Where are you dwelling? And there is a spiritual armor that you are to put on. Isn't that what the Bible says? Put on the whole armor of God. That's something you got to do. It's not automatic. You personalize. You put it on. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the breastplate of righteousness. And all these things are there for you to put on. And do you have the assurance today that no evil shall befall you? Do you have the assurance that no plague will come to your dwelling? Do you have the assurance that you will not die until your time that God has ordained? Praise God. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you that you overshadow your people with your presence, that you put the limitations on evil and Satan, and you stop him, and you help us to escape the tricks and the wiles of the devil. Thank you for your protection upon our families, upon our children. Thank you for these children that are here today. God, may they sense your presence and sense that you have a destiny for them that will be fulfilled. They will be victorious in you and through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team, if you'd come.